This is the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Hello, and welcome to the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News, where we take the region's top stories and analyze and review their broader context. Starting off, the Solomon Islands are buzzing with political activity as the three main contenders for the upcoming National General Elections, NGE, have launched their campaigns. This episode dives deep into the manifestos and public pronouncements of the United Party, UP, the Ownership, Unity, Responsibility, OR Party, and the newcomer UMI for Change, U4C Party, offering insights into the key issues that will likely dominate the election discourse. One of the most prominent themes is the country's relationship with China. The UP, led by Matthew Whale, is spearheading a critical stance, accusing the current Prime Minister Manasseh Sogavare's UR Party of prioritizing Chinese interests over those of the Solomon Islands. Whale criticizes deals that, in his view, allow Chinese companies to exploit the nation's resources without significant benefit to the local population. He pledges to renegotiate these agreements and forge a more balanced relationship with China. The OR Party, on the other hand, defends its record, highlighting its friends to all, enemy to none policy, and the game-changing projects implemented during its tenure. These include infrastructure development and establishing diplomatic relations with China, which the party sees as a strategic partner. The U4C Party, led by Daniel Swidani, takes a nuanced approach. While advocating for transparency in foreign relations and reviewing the One China principle, Swidani doesn't reject China completely. He emphasizes establishing diplomatic ties based on mutual benefit and consultation with the public. The manifestos also address domestic concerns. The U4C focuses on stimulating local business development and infrastructure improvement to attract investment and create jobs. The party also proposes reviewing bureaucratic hurdles hindering economic growth. The UP echoes similar sentiments, highlighting the need for economic policies that empower local businesses and communities. The OUR party, emphasizing its achievements, points to its success in maintaining political stability and implementing crucial legislation like the Education Act. However, they lack concrete plans for new policies in their manifesto. The U4C manifesto proposes reforming how the Solomon Islands establishes diplomatic relations and allowing provinces more autonomy in foreign affairs. This directly addresses concerns about the lack of transparency surrounding the 2022 Security Pact with China, a major point of contention for many citizens. Whale also echoes the need for transparency by vowing to publish the Security Pact document in its entirety if elected. This resonates with voters seeking clearer information about agreements impacting their nation's future. With 8 weeks until the elections, China is likely to ramp up its influence operations in the Solomon Islands. This could involve providing financial aid to the OUR party, influencing local media, and offering lucrative deals to showcase the benefits of their partnership. The 2024 NGE in the Solomon Islands promises to be a fascinating contest. While China's role and economic development are key themes, concerns about transparency and accountability are also shaping the discourse. As voters weigh their options, understanding the party's stances on these crucial issues will be vital in determining the country's future direction. Next, Australian lawmakers have overwhelmingly voted in favor of repatriating Julian Assange, the controversial WikiLeaks founder facing extradition to the U.S. This move comes just days before a crucial London court hearing that will determine if Assange's appeal against extradition can proceed. The U.S. seeks Assange on charges related to publishing classified documents through WikiLeaks, including exposing U.S. war crimes and diplomatic cables. Critics argue that extradition would set a dangerous precedent, chilling investigative journalism and freedom of speech. Assange's supporters emphasize the lack of a public interest defense in the Espionage Act, making it impossible for him to argue that his actions serve the public good. The Australian Parliament's motion reflects growing unease over Assange's plight, with Prime Minister Albanese himself calling for his return. This bipartisan support highlights concerns about the potential impact on press freedom and the treatment of Australian citizens abroad. WikiLeaks publications have had a profound impact, sparking international debates about transparency, accountability, and the role of media in the digital age. While Assange's methods remain controversial, his supporters credit him with shedding light on government misconduct and empowering citizens with information. The similar case of Chelsea Manning, who leaked classified documents to WikiLeaks, serves as a reminder of the potential consequences Assange faces. Though eventually released, Manning spent years imprisoned, raising concerns about the potential severity of Assange's punishment. Adding to the pressure, prominent artist Andrei Malodkin has threatened to destroy millions of dollars worth of art if Assange dies in prison. This dead man switch action underscores the growing international support for Assange and the desperation surrounding his case. The upcoming court hearing could be a turning point. If Assange's appeal fails, his extradition to the US becomes a very real possibility. The Australian Parliament's intervention and the international outcry surrounding the case demonstrate the high stakes involved, with Assange's fate potentially impacting press freedom, international relations, and the future of whistleblowing. Next, a brutal massacre has claimed the lives of at least 53 individuals in Papua New Guinea's Enga province. The incident, deemed a massacre by police, involved an ambush targeting members of 17 different tribes. This violent escalation raises concerns about the ongoing tribal conflicts and the availability of firearms in the region. Police reports suggest the deceased were ambushed while traveling to attack a neighboring tribe. The bodies were scattered across the area, highlighting the brutality of the event. The incident further exacerbates the existing tensions in the region, where violence escalated following the 2022 general elections. Enga province has been grappling with tribal violence for several years, with the 2022 elections serving as a trigger for renewed clashes. Curfews and travel restrictions were implemented in September 2023, due to the escalating conflicts involving both tribes and criminal groups. The easy access to firearms fuels the violence in Papua New Guinea. While some guns enter through the illegal trade, a significant portion are acquired from security personnel or stolen from legal gun owners. This readily available weaponry empowers perpetrators and perpetuates the cycle of violence. Disturbingly, reports suggest politicians themselves are implicated in the illegal gun trade. The 2023 arrest of two members of parliament and a former governor highlights the complex web of actors contributing to the proliferation of firearms in the region. Police are urging for calm, but the massacre is likely to trigger retaliatory killings, further deepening the conflict. Addressing the root causes of tribal tensions, coupled with stricter gun control measures and investigations into the involvement of politicians in the illegal arms trade, are crucial steps towards achieving lasting peace in the region. Now moving to the Philippines, the Philippine Army, PA, engaged in a heavy firefight with the Daula Islamia Maute Group, DIMG, in the town of Munay, Lanao del Norte Province, Mindanao, on February 18th. The two-hour battle resulted in the deaths of six soldiers and three militants, highlighting the ongoing security challenges in the region. This clash was part of a wider operation launched by the 1st Infantry Division, 1ID, following the December 2023 bombing at Marawi University. The military aimed to track down and eliminate the DIMG responsible for the attack. A platoon of soldiers from the 44th Infantry Battalion, supported by the 3rd Scout Ranger Battalion, confronted an estimated 15 DIMG fighters in two separate locations within Munay. The intense firefight lasted for 2 hours before the militants retreated towards the southeast. Six soldiers from the 44th Infantry Battalion lost their lives, while four others sustained injuries during the operation. The military recovered M14, M16, and M203 rifles, ammunition, and other equipment left behind by the retreating militants. They also found the body of one slain militant. 1ID Commanding General, Major General Gabriel Viray III, expressed his condolences to the families of the fallen soldiers and praised the units involved for their swift and decisive actions. Chief of Staff for the Armed Forces of the Philippines, General Romeo Bronner Jr., reaffirmed the military's commitment to pursuing the DIMG and honored the soldiers who died in the operation. Next, on February 14th, a Taiwanese Coast Guard vessel chased a Chinese fishing boat near Kinmen Island, resulting in the deaths of two Chinese fishermen. This incident sparked outrage in China, leading to a series of responses and escalating tensions across the Taiwan Strait. Spokesperson Zhu Fenglian condemned the incident, claiming it violated the rights of Chinese fishermen and accusing Taiwan of fabricating prohibited and restricted waters around Kinmen. The TIO demanded Taiwan release the boat and crew, conduct an investigation, and explain the incident. They also reserved the right to take further measures, placing the responsibility on Taiwan. Published commentary criticizing the Taiwan government's handling of the situation and emphasizing the long history of shared fishing grounds in the area. They questioned the validity of the prohibited and restricted waters and accused Taiwan of mistreating Chinese fishermen. Increased patrols near Kinmen and conducted an inspection of a Taiwanese tourist vessel, potentially challenging the boundaries and asserting Chinese presence in the disputed waters. China's initial silence suggests a lack of pre-planned strategy. Their subsequent actions, however, indicate an attempt to leverage the incident to challenge the status quo around Kinmen. China aims to undermine the legitimacy of the prohibited and restricted waters through statements, media reports, and actions like the CCG patrols. They emphasize the historical shared fishing grounds and deny the existence of any official boundaries. China's measured response, using non-military means like increased patrols and sporadic inspections, falls under gray zone tactics, aiming to achieve objectives without triggering direct conflict. China's strong reaction likely serves to appease public outrage over the fishermen's deaths while avoiding escalation with Kinmen's population. China utilizes pro-Beijing individuals and media outlets in Taiwan to amplify its narrative and gain support within the island. China's actions suggest a potential long-term strategy to gradually change the maritime boundaries around Kinmen, potentially leading to increased tensions and challenging Taiwan's control over the waters. The incident highlights the complex and sensitive nature of cross-strait relations, with the potential for small events to trigger larger escalations. Continued monitoring and analysis are crucial to understanding China's intentions and the potential consequences for regional security and stability. Next up, in May 2023, the world learned about China's ambitious VETOL project through a patent filed by the Chengdu Aircraft Research and Design Institute, KD. This design, dubbed the Chengfei VTOL, boasts a twin-engine tandem configuration, utilizing vectoring nozzles for both vertical and horizontal thrust. Interestingly, the patent diagrams reveal similarities to existing Western aircraft, like the F-35B and AV-8B Harrier II, suggesting inspiration and potential competition. The Chengfei VTOL incorporates stealth features evident in its angular fuselage and diamond-shaped nose, reminiscent of China's J-20 Mighty Dragon. However, the crucial question remains: can this design translate into a functional aircraft? While the patent suggests progress, technical hurdles loom large. Experts highlight several obstacles facing the Chengfei VTOL. The unique twin-engine tandem system lacks a proven track record, requiring significant modifications to optimize nozzle design and engine integration. Additionally, the complex engine system, absent in existing aircraft, poses a challenge for independent development without industrial espionage. Despite these challenges, a successful VETOL could significantly enhance China's military capabilities. Imagine PLA Marine Corps units equipped with these aircraft, launching from amphibious vessels and providing vital close air support. Such advancements would expand the PLA Navy's operational reach, enabling missions like air patrols and anti-air warfare in areas lacking traditional runways. China's VTOL design represents a bold step towards cutting-edge military technology. While the journey from patent to operational aircraft remains arduous, the potential payoff is immense. If successful, this project will undoubtedly impact global military dynamics, prompting other nations to invest in similar advancements. We'll continue monitoring this exciting development, keeping you updated as the Chengfei VTOL takes flight, figuratively and perhaps literally, in the years to come. Finally, we're tackling the recent leak of internal documents from Shanghai Anzun, a Chinese company shrouded in secrecy. Our analysis will dissect the information revealed, exploring the company's operations, potential ties to government agencies, and its role in China's cybersecurity landscape. Buckle up as we navigate the murky waters of cyber espionage and talent cultivation. The leaked documents offer a rare glimpse into Shanghai Anzun's inner workings. We see a company with extensive operations, particularly in Chengdu, boasting partnerships with universities and government agencies. This suggests deep connections within China's cybersecurity ecosystem. The documents shed light on Anzun's product range, including anonymous anti-tracing walls and countermeasures equipment. These tools raise concerns about potential offensive capabilities, hinting at involvement in cyber operations beyond mere defense. The leaked information reveals interactions with the Ministry of Public Security and the Chinese Academy of Physics, suggesting potential involvement in state-sponsored activities. Aung San's role in a cross-border gambling investigation further strengthens this connection. Aung San actively cultivates future cybersecurity talent through initiatives like the Aung San Cup competitions and partnerships with universities. This talent pipeline could fuel China's cyber capabilities in the long run. Aung San's sponsorship of competitions with international teams like WNM raises questions about potential intelligence gathering and talent scouting efforts. The company's denial of any connection with WNM warrants further investigation. The leaked documents paint a concerning picture of Shanghai Aung San's potential involvement in offensive cyber operations and its close ties to the Chinese government. While the company maintains a public image of a legitimate cybersecurity firm, the evidence suggests a more complex reality. The Shanghai Aung San leak highlights the need for transparency in the cybersecurity industry, particularly regarding companies operating in opaque environments. This case underscores the importance of independent investigations and responsible reporting to hold actors accountable and safeguard global security. This has been the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Thanks for listening.